Safeway makes it easy to save at the pump with your club card because you can use up to 20 cents per gallon in Safeway gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations. Get more mileage out of your grocery budget up to 20 cents per gallon. When you shop more at Safeway, you save more at Chevron and Texaco. Maximum reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is 20 cents per gallon in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Cannot be combined with any other Safeway gas reward offer. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details at Safeway.com or in store.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I knew then what I know now, no, I wouldn't change much of anything anyhow. It was 50-50 and I won the coin toss when you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International and is made possible by our sponsors, Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. Today, we move into the two part of our series, Celebrating the Advocates, in the month of December. Today, we have Havana Lowes with us on the show. Havana is a brilliant, passionate young lady who is using her story to advocate for the HD community. I just had the pleasure of meeting Havana for the first time a couple months ago at the HSG meeting, and I was blown away that she was 17 years old. I haven't really met a 17-year-old that is as passionate and as articulate as Havana is. So I'm really excited about this show and to talk about all that Havana is doing. So welcome to the show.
Hi. This is super exciting
to have you.
Because I've never been on a podcast.
Well, welcome. So let's move right into the show, and let's start by talking about HD, how HD impacts your life.
Okay. HD impacts my life drastically. I've lost four family members, including my grandpa and my three aunts. My mom has HD, and she's currently pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic at the age of 35, leaving me at risk, along with six of my cousins. But on top of, like, directly affecting me, I've been involved in everything from youth groups to conventions and all that jazz since 2009. I was 9 and 10 years old whenever I went to my first convention, and so it has become, like, my main summer event and pretty much taken over my life in a good way. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. But it must have been really hard at a young age watching family members with HD growing
up.
Well,
definitely hard, but also I'm a big believer in young people, especially children, are super the one that they, like, they bounce back quickly?
Can't resilient, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
resilient.
So they're super resilient. And so at a young age, when I was helping take care of, like, my aunts and stuff like that, it wasn't much of, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. I'm going to die someday. Get me out of here. It was more of like, okay, today's another day. Let's just keep on moving through it. And so it didn't really affect me until I got a little bit older and I hit my teenage years, that I was like, whoa, this is horrible. This is a big part of my life. I might die someday. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of hard to cope with it. But I think that because I've been involved and because I've known about it since I was 9, it has helped me grow and cope a lot better than people who I've met who found out about a family member at the age of 19, at the age of 20. It's a bit different. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up with it.
And you had to take a caregiver role at a very young age. So tell me about that. So you helped care for your aunt.
Yeah. When I was 11, I moved in with one of my aunts because she was not doing well. She was in her final stages, and my aunt and my uncle had four kids. And so my uncle was trying to work his way up in a big technology company, which is good because now he, like, makes enough money to provide. But at the time, mm-hmm. he was not. And so it was really difficult having a single income family with four children under the age of 10. So my mother and I moved in with them. My mom became their main, like, babysitter caregiver during the day. And then I would come mm-hmm. home, and as my mom was, like, preparing dinner, trying to make sure that my cousin's diapers were changed, I would be the one making sure that my aunt had her soda because she loved Dr. Pepper and needed it every day. And I would be mm-hmm. the one to make sure that, like, if she fell or needed to go outside to smoke or something, that she got there safely, especially towards the end when falls were super common. And so I took on that role of being my mom's sidekick along with being there for my younger cousins. Because one of them, I was 11, so she would have been 9. And she was like, what is going on? Why is my mom like this? Why is your mom not like this? So I also became like an information source. Like I had to kind of trickle down little parts and pieces as to like help my cousins understand what was going on without obviously mm-hmm. overstepping bounds with their parents. And then my aunt passed away shortly after that. And so that's kind of the end of that caretaking experience. But then the next year I moved in with another one of my aunts, and that was like 2013, I believe, and mm-hmm. she was also final stages and didn't really need help besides the fact that she had a caregiver after taking care of her. My uncle, luckily enough, was able to provide a paid aide to come every day. But the aide wasn't aware of what Huntington's was, and so we had a big information misconception. And so my mom and I moved in for, I think it was close to 6 months, and my mom pretty much informed her caregiver, as well as me helping out here and there whenever like they were cleaning or doing something else. So it wasn't like a massive role, like as in me taking care of my mom, but it impacted the way that I look at people with Huntington's. Like I always want to like just like hold them and just like love them because I know that that's still a person. I think that's something that a lot of people have trouble understanding as they're seeing the beginning stages. And then with my mom being pre-symptomatic right now, I'm expected to be a caregiver as she continues to decline.
Yeah. Well, she is amazing. We had a lot of fun with you guys in Nashville, and it's unbelievable how much Huntington's disease impacts a family and how much a family has to come together. I mean, we're seeing that as you're telling your story. You have, you know, you and your mom moving in with different family members to help them through this journey. It really takes a family. It really is a family disease, that's for sure. So let's talk about your advocacy role, because I know you've done a lot. So let's start with the Parity Act. Let's talk about that. What have you done with that initiative?
Okay. So the Parity Act, just a little run through. 2 points. It was to update the Social Security Administration guidelines on what Huntington's was. And then the mm-hmm. second part was to waive the 2-year waiting period for those approved for Medicare. And so I first learned about this. I mean, I probably heard about it when I was younger, but I wasn't paying attention, honestly. It wasn't until last year, the year before at convention, that I saw some of my other NYA friends. It was like the older people, because like in the NYA, there's, like, the people in their 20s and there's people in, like, their teens and, like, their children. We kind of, like, stick together in two different groups because it's kind of like a mentality thing.
Right.
And so I was watching my older, like, mentors. Like, I look up to these people going and getting involved in the government. And as someone with big dreams and big aspirations in life, government could potentially be an option for me. And so I was like, all right, I want to see what this is all about. So I learned about the HD Parity Act from Texas, I'm going to say, just to be safe, because that's when I actually paid attention. And I went through and followed up with the people at HDSA, and I followed up with everyone a part of the HD Parity Act, learned everything I could about it, and then went through and traveled to D.C. last summer for right before the Baltimore convention. And then also uh-huh. I did writing to my local congressman. They haven't really been responding, but it's always an effort, and I'm doing my darndest.
Yes, yes. I'm sure it's not easy. Now, yeah, so tell us about your trip to Washington. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, and with the House and the Senate and stuff like that, there's certain committees for everything. And my local congressman, my representative, keeps saying that he's not on that committee. And I keep saying you don't have to be. And I think he understands that. But just persistence is key. And as far as my experience in Washington, D.C., it was amazing. Because at the time, I told myself I was going to go into political science and I was going to make the most out of this trip and I was going to do everything possible. Change of plans, not going into that anymore, but still an option. You never know. But I went through with the National Youth Alliance on June 1st, 2016, and we did a quote-unquote NYA takeover. And so there was about 30 people who went and met with different representatives all day long. I think each of us had like 6 or 7 representatives or senators that they were meeting with for the day, and we paired up into like teams. And so we would go into, yeah, it was amazing. So we would go into an office, and we started off the day at, I believe it was Utah. It was a senator from Utah, and it was all 30 of us in this one room. And we had 3 people, like, tell their main stories. But, like, the impact of having 30 people there in that room who were affected by this, who were dressed up super nice, who were ready to go and conquer the world, really impacted that senator. And it was awesome to, like, watch his face because we got to meet with him versus a staffer.
Right.
And then we would – yeah, and because sometimes you meet with the staffers versus the senators' representatives because they're busy. They have government stuff to do. And so we would then split up, and I visited 6 other – I visited all senators that day. And so this is the big people. And it was me and the NYA president now, Marianne Emmerich. And we went through each meeting and talked to people about, like, our stories. So Marianne would go through and explain the Parity Act. And then we would both tell our stories and how the HD Parity Act would affect us. Because for me, I'm worried about my mother in the future. Because, quite frankly, I graduate high school in 7 days, and I'm going into college. And so I'm not really going to have the money to be a full-time caregiver and still, like, follow what I'm going to do because – there's potential for me to hopefully do something big, and this is just me being, like, super optimistic.
Okay. I have to apologize. Our studio kind of went crazy, so we are going to – I'm going to merge these shows together so you can hear them at one time. But for our listeners that we dropped off, I'm sorry, but we are back live again. So let's start by where we got our studio shut down on us. So you were talking about D.C., and so you went and you talked to the senator. Now, as the outcome of you talking, did any senators at that time sign?
Okay, so none of them signed that day, but I had the opportunity to meet with one of my senators. So I'm from Missouri, and so I met with my senator, Roy Blunt Staffer. And the staffer loved me, and she loved that I was from Missouri, and she was like, your senator is going to do everything he can to help you. And I was like, okay, awesome. And so they didn't sign on that day, and I guess she talked to him, and then I sent them another email, and everything. They were like, okay, well, I'll let them know. Thank you for emailing us. I was like, yeah, of course. And then in July, it was a week of like July 13th or something like that. And I remember that because I was at a camp being a camp counselor at the time. And I got a call saying, hey, the Social Security Administration just updated Huntington's guidelines. And so I was like, holy wow, this is crazy. And so they updated the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So they finished half of
right.
the HD Parity Act. And so with them mm-hmm. doing that, the very next day I sent an email to the staffer, her name was Desiree Mowry, I believe, if I'm pronouncing that correct, don't quote me. And she was like, okay, cool, awesome, thank you. I got a reply the next day saying, all right, Senator Roy Blunt has officially co-sponsored the HD Parity Act, S-968, stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's crazy how much of an impact you can have on something like you, whenever I see government, whenever a lot of people see government, it's like this big picture. You can't really talk to anyone. They don't understand first world problems. open up Earth World, but, like, the rest of the world besides the government. And I was like, well, like, I didn't really believe that. And so I went through, and whenever I talked to her, she was like, you realize that, like, senators are people, too. Like, they have things that affect them. They are, they like funny dog videos, and they think that it's sad whenever people die. Like, they have emotions. And so to see someone go through and act and help out me personally, like, I went, like, I felt so honored, first of all, because that's awesome. But second of all, like, I was proud to be a part of something. And I feel like my story is a major testament as to how an individual person can do so much. And so with 100 individual people doing big things, you're going to create, like, a mass movement. And I feel like that's what we've done through the Parity Act, because we have more co-sponsors now than we've had ever, and we are so close to getting passed. But with the whole change of seating in the House Representative and the presidency, it's we have to go through and we have to restart in January our bill if we don't pass it before then. So we're kind of cramming right now, hoping to get it done.
Sure, sure. Well, we are watching you guys and cheering you on, and thank you for doing that. It's so important. So many people go without, you know, Medicare for so long, and it's just, it's ridiculous. So we definitely thank you for your efforts, and we hope and fingers crossed it goes through. Let's talk about, because we only have about 10 minutes left or 11 minutes left on the show, because I know you have to be somewhere. And but I want to talk about the youth program, because I know that you are incredibly passionate about the youth programs. And so let's talk about how you got involved with HDO and NYA and what that has done to you as a young person that's life is impacted by HD.
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? Okay, so I got involved in the NYA in 2009. I was 10 years old. And I attended my first convention in Phoenix, Arizona. I was able to attend because my mom went the year before to Pennsylvania in 2008, and she met with people from the National Youth Alliance there. And so the National Youth Alliance is a group of people. It's a sister organization to HDSA, and it's for people aged 9 to 29 affected by Huntington's. And my mom was like, whoa, this is amazing. And she found the support from this group of people to tell me about Huntington's. And so as soon as she got back from convention in 2008, she told me about Huntington's. Apparently, I guess I handled it really well, because the very next year she signed me up to go to convention. We went, and I met two other little girls named Abby and Jillian. I remember them to this day. And they made my whole experience fun. And I didn't really understand, like, the importance of the NYA or where I was really going. All I knew is that, hey, it was a trip to Arizona, and why not? And so, and so as a child, I didn't really understand it. But every year, even to this day, I still learn something new, not only about Huntington's, but about the way to caretake, about ways to find research and get involved in research, and you meet more people. And so it's a never ending learning process. And so through the NYA, I've spent, out of the past 7 years, I've spent 5 of them at convention. So this next year will be my 6th one. And I progressively got more involved. Last year after Texas, whenever I got more involved with the Parity Act, I also was like, hey, I want to be a part of the board. I want to help. I want to do something and make a difference. And the board then was like, awesome. You're all for it. Let's go. And so I started like listening to their meetings, and I was a part of their planning process for certain little things. And it's been amazing. And so now I am a board member on the National Youth Alliance as of this past summer. And I'm super passionate about it, because I was very able cool. to go at a young age, and it didn't mean much to me. And now the NYA is like my family. Like, after I leave convention, after I leave an NYA retreat, after I leave an event, I get genuinely so sad, because I know I'm not going to see these people for another majority of time. Obviously, we can keep connected on social media, and we do. But it's different because right. these people understand what you're going through. Because I go to school, I go to work, no one understands Huntington's, no one knows what it is. And I have people in my local community in St. Louis that understand Huntington's, but it's different than the people who are actually going through it. And so meeting people my age, I'm 17 now, meeting people who are 18, 16, 15, 20, it doesn't matter what age spectrum they are. If you say, hey, my mom flipped out today because her, like, her just mentality, I don't understand. She was all cool one moment, and then all of a sudden she started yelling at me and she threw something, and like, all, like, they understand. They don't question why. They just kind of, they'll either be like, I'm sorry, that sucks, or they're going to tell a story about what happened to them and their mom or their dad or their brother. And so having that commonality between you and all of these different people from around the country makes you feel like you're super connected in an amazing community. And through that, you also get the opportunities to go to DC with a big group of people and to go to a youth retreat. And last year we had one in Iowa and Colorado. You get to go to these different things and make awesome memories, and you get to go dance and have all these different experiences. And so that's kind of where my things, I started back at the age of 9, and now I'm 17 and I can't get enough of it. And then for HCYO, sorry, did you have a question?
I was just leading into that because I wasn't sure if you'd been, have you been to their camp?
Yeah. So Minneapolis, Minnesota, I met Matthew Ellison. He's British, not an NYA member, but he was there and was hanging out with the youth group, because at the time he was like 20 something, maybe younger. And so I met him and I was like, oh my gosh, you are British and you're awesome. And this was like, I was like 12. And so I was freaking out because this British guy, I met a British guy. And so through that, like, I kept in contact with him through Facebook and, like, always asked him how he's doing, stuff like that. And then he went on and established HCYO. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, you are amazing. And so it's pretty much the NYA on a global spectrum. So it's an organization for youth, but it's around the world. And they have, like, 11 to 15 different languages, and they have a website that has a kids game on it to help explain HD to little kids, which has been an amazing resource for parents. And then they have articles about new research, about new opportunities. And then in 2015, they came out with a camp. They started camp in Europe in like 2013 or 2014, and it was like their trial experience. And then in 2015, there was an opportunity for 44 people aged 15 to, I want to say like 21 or 22. Might have been 23. I don't really remember. But it was obviously a young group of people all able to go to this immersion HD trip almost. So we all went we went outside of D.C. to this little campground. And we stayed there for 4 days, and it was probably to this day one of the most amazing HD experiences I've had, because convention is fun because you get to go and you get to meet people and you get to have all these different experiences, but it's a lot of information. Whereas at the camp, it was a completely different setting because everything was relaxed. We didn't have to worry about presentations, didn't have to worry about raising money. All we had to worry about was ourselves. So we would go and we would have like little group sessions where we talk about relationships. We talked about how to talk to friends and family. We talked about how to caregive, and then how HD affects us. We were able to really sit down in this beautiful setting, mind you. It was by a giant lake, and the scenery was amazing. It was a bit hot, but it was also August, so you can't really expect anything different.
Right.
Sit down in circles outside, listening to the birds chirping, like, away from all of the social media and hassle of everyday life, and get to really, like, talk about our feelings. And that sounds, like, super emotional and mushy, but it was like, almost invigorating the way that it felt, because you get to sit with these people who understood you. We were all different ages, so we all had different experiences, and the older people were able to help the younger people, and the younger people were able to help the older people. It was just a giant group of, I want to say amazingness, but that's, like, not proper, so I shouldn't. But it's,
no,
like,
it's totally cool to say amazingness. Yeah.
Like, I can't describe how amazing the experience was. And then after the 4 days were over, like, I cried on my way home. And then, like, we had a giant rope swing. We had an obstacle course. Like, they had games throughout the day. I played a lot of volleyball because I'm a volleyball person. And we would sit in this cafeteria, and at the end of the week, we had a major dance party, and it was something that I feel like every person, every young person affected by Huntington's should go and experience, because it was something that I can say changed my life. And now, as helping with the NY, helping to plan the next convention, I hope to do something more similar to that to help give these people who are only able to attend convention, whether that be like they can't attend camp because of school or because of work or whatever, and they're only able to make it to convention, they kind of get that same experience. But I mean,
right,
at the same time, unless the NYU went through and had a camp, which I don't know how likely that is, we can't compare to the complete immersion and getaway. It was a getaway vacation with a ton of friends. And I can't put it into words.
Yeah, community is important. That is for sure. Well, we are pulling to the end of our show, and I know that, Havana, you have somewhere you have to get to, but we so appreciate you coming on, and you are amazing, and thank you for all your advocacy and all that you are doing for the young people and all of us as well with all the Parity Act and everything. And so thank you for coming on today, and we will definitely catch up with you soon and find out what you are doing in the next couple months. We would love to have you back on. We will close down the show right now and tune in next week, same time, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, to talk to Marie Clay and about all that she is doing with law enforcement education and everything with Citron.